He who saves one life saves the world entire. And the most important life to save is your own. After all, it's the place where you have the most power. So join shadow worker and trauma therapist Laura Giles each week on It's Not You, It's Me. We'll uncover what's in shadow and learn the things you need so you can heal yourself, grow yourself, know yourself, love yourself, be yourself, and share yourself. If you're sick and tired of being sick and tired, it's time to drop the self-sabotage and limiting beliefs. A healthy, abundant, connected life is an option. Choose it. Subscribe, and let's start manifesting it.
Hey guys, I have got a treat for you today. So I'm here today with Dr. Neil Nathan, and he's going to tell us about something you probably don't know about. That is how toxins are making us sick, and we don't even know it. Doctors don't even know it. It's pretty new and cutting edge. And Dr. Neil Nathan entered medical school in 1967 at the University of Chicago and has been learning and teaching ever since. He became board certified in family medicine and pain management, then added osteopathic manipulation, acupuncture, hypnosis, homeopathy, therapeutic touch, herbal and botanical remedies, Reikian therapy, and other medical devices to his tool bag. Dr. Nathan is a founding diplomate of the American Board of Integrative Holistic Medicine and the International Society for Environmentally Acquired Illness. Dr. Nathan taught at the University of Minnesota Medical School from 1979 to 1990, and for the last 10 years, he's been teaching and mentoring doctors on how to treat the hard-to-treat patients that slip through the cracks, the patients that doctors run the tests on, see nothing wrong with the labs, and tell them it's all in their head, go see a therapist. Or maybe doctors do believe them and don't know what to do with them. Dr. Nathan's first book, On Hope and Healing, was written for doctors and patients to understand the conditions of chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, autism, and other chronic illnesses. It was one of the first books to provide a holistic look at Western medicine that we now call functional medicine. Dr. Nathan has written several other books since then and has a brand new book out called The Sensitive Patient's Healing Guide that includes some of the ideas that we're going to delve into today. So, if you're sensitive, have chronic health issues, don't know what's wrong, or have gotten some relief, but not completely, and you want to go natural, stay tuned and welcome with me, Dr. Neil Nathan. I am so excited to talk to you, Dr. Nathan. As a trauma therapist who gets the clients that doctors turn away and tell them that whatever they're going through is all in their head, I so admire your work. I don't see a lot of doctors who go beyond the test and say, I believe you. I don't know what's going on here, but I'm going to figure this thing out. So how did you become that guy? How did that become your area of expertise?
Well, my background is that I'm a family physician and got into problem solving early on. And by that, I mean, I got really interested in the patients that my colleagues gave up on or didn't know what to do with. For some reason, that fascinated me. And I kept thinking, it's got to be a way to help those folks. So I've spent my career trying to figure out what were they missing? What do we not know that would help these folks? And so it kind of naturally got me into pain management, because a lot of people don't approach pain, I think, in the proper way. And so I was running a chronic pain unit for a regional hospital in Minnesota at the time. And we were starting to see this odd condition that was then called fibrositis, now fibromyalgia, that couldn't make heads or tails out of. A lot of people were saying, no, it's psychological, but psychological treatments did not work. Yeah. And so it was clear that it was a physical illness and didn't have any answers. So I just kept plugging away, and we studied it over the years, so that eventually we began to learn that it was triggered by a wide variety of deficiencies, imbalances in the body, things like hormonal imbalances, thyroid, adrenal, sex hormones, magnesium deficiency, food allergy, intestinal dysbiosis, and we began to be able to help most of them by figuring out what the specifics were for that patient. And then we began to realize that there were a whole lot of patients that we weren't helping, and began to realize that many of them had Lyme disease. Later on, we realized many of them had mold toxicity. And so it was a process of learning over time, if you will, what were we missing? What did we not know that we needed to know to help patients? So eventually I got into this field of complex medical problem solving that, from your perspective, the things I'm talking about do have psychological implications, some of them directly. So, for example, mold toxicity directly causes anxiety, depression, OCD. It will worsen any psychiatric condition. It'll worsen bipolar, schizophrenia, you name it. Lyme disease will do that. A co-infection of Lyme disease called Bartonella will do that. So, eventually, we began to realize we could help a lot of these folks, and they didn't really carry a psychological diagnosis. When we fixed what was physically wrong with them, that disappeared. That's the short version.
Does gut health have something to do with this?
Well, this is a multi-system issue, always. Underlying all of this is basically different types of inflammation, and it goes to every organ system in the body. So, does digestion play a role? Absolutely. Most of our patients have gas, bloating, distension, diarrhea, constipation, abdominal cramps, abdominal pain. So, yeah, digestion and breathing. Patients have wheezing, shortness of breath, air hunger. They have neurological symptoms, peripheral neuropathies. Almost all of them have some degree of cognitive impairment, difficulty with focus, memory, concentration, brain fog, word finding. So this is a global thing, and each person is unique biochemically and genetically, and they will each manifest this inflammation in whatever form their body kind of orchestrates.
So if a person is having difficulty finding help, so whatever they go in to the doctor with, I have breathing difficulties. My doctor says, "Oh, your labs are fine." Are there any tells that they should look further, or like what kind of doctor they need to look for?
Well, in this day and age, a lot of physicians work out of their specialist box. And so if there isn't an obvious answer, so keep in mind the kinds of information we're seeing can be measured, but not by the normal tests that we do in medicine. So normal tests for inflammation are SED rate and CRP. It doesn't pick up this type of inflammation. And so most of these patients have been tested with a basic blood count, a basic chemistry profile, a little bit of that, and they'll go, "Oh no, you're normal, you're fine." And these folks are not fine. They know they're not fine. Fatigue is huge for all of them. So then their family hears their visit with their doctor or goes with them, and they hear, "No, your doctor says you're fine." And they go, "No, I'm not fine." So if you brought your car in and it wasn't working right, and you brought it to a mechanic three times and they just didn't get it, you wouldn't keep bringing it back to the same mechanic. You'd go find someone who could look at it differently until they could figure it out. And somehow we don't do that with our bodies. Somehow physicians are a little bit up on some pedestal and going, "Well, they said I'm fine." So my message is, you know you're not fine. Do not doubt that. I mean, do not doubt yourself. Since you're not fine, let's go find someone who can figure it out. There's a field in medicine called functional medicine, sometimes called it integrative medicine. And so you want to start by looking in that area, because these are folks who look outside that box. They're generally looking at the bigger picture in a more comprehensive way.
Now, is there a qualification or something around that that can maybe let you know that this person is more educated? Because I do send my people to a functional medicine person quite often, and they're not created equally.
Very much so. That's true of any profession. Just because you have a degree next to your name doesn't mean you're good at it, unfortunately. If people have concerns, I mean, I have a mentorship training program for over 200 physicians. And when I feel like people really know what they're doing, I put them on my referral list on my website. So what I can tell you is that those people know what they're doing.
Okay.
And honestly, many of them are already busy and full. You may have to call a bunch of them to get what you need.
Yeah.
Because when, as in anything in life, if someone is good at what they do, they get busy.
Yeah.
But not all people who have the name functional medicine or integrative medicine are particularly knowledgeable about two of the biggest areas, which would be mold toxicity and Lyme disease. They're huge, and much of the medical field has no grasp of that. I mean, it's thought that there are over 10 million people in this country right now with some degree of mold toxicity. And I can assure you that the vast majority don't know it. They're living in a moldy environment and blowing it off. They go, well, it's just mold. Everybody's got mold. No, everybody doesn't have mold and everybody's not affected by mold. There are almost 500,000 new cases of Lyme disease in this country every year. And a lot of people go, oh, there's no Lyme disease in this our area. We don't have it. Lyme disease is present in large amounts in every state in the country. And yes, some areas are hotbeds more than others. New England, Minnesota, Pacific Northwest have more of it, but I can assure your audience that Lyme disease is around a lot. And again, I have worked in some states where infectious disease specialists would tell their folks, no, we don't see any Lyme disease around here, and which I'm sitting in. And practicing in the same community, treating lots of Lyme disease. So you don't recognize that it's here. It's here.
Okay, so I know that the tell for Lyme disease is that bullseye rash, but lots of people don't have that. So how would somebody who's in an area where there isn't a lot of Lyme come to think, maybe I have Lyme disease?
So first of all, the bullseye is rare.
Yeah.
When you get it, yes, that's Lyme disease. But if you get bitten by a tick and any reaction occurs, sometimes you don't even see the reaction. You can still get Lyme disease. So I think that's a misconception. Another misconception is I was bitten, but it has only been on my body for less than 24 hours, so I can't possibly have gotten Lyme disease. Doesn't work that way. It can be on your body for a couple of hours and you can still get Lyme disease. So, first of all, just being aware that Lyme disease and mold toxicity is common. And what should you think about when you have a group of symptoms that people can't figure out? Start looking there. Absolutely. So, if you have fatigue, cognitive impairment, anxiety, depression, joint pain, muscle pain, aches, respiratory symptoms, pelvic pain. There's virtually no area of the body. So that if you have these symptoms and you're being told nobody could have all those symptoms, it's in your head, one of my favorites, well, it's absolutely possible to have all those symptoms. So if you have that, find someone who knows about things like mold toxicity and Lyme disease and get tested. There are tests for these things, and the tests have gotten better. So this is diagnosable.
Okay.
And my take-home message is, and it's treatable, so that you don't have to suffer for the rest of your life with whatever it is you have. Find someone who is interested enough to go the extra mile and start looking for where it's coming from.
Now, I know environmental mold, I think, is an obvious one, but there's a lot of foods that have more mold in them than others. Are there some foods that you would recommend people stay away from?
Not really. I think that there are some people who write about the mold in food as being a primary issue. Although there is minuscule amounts of mold in some food, the amount appears to be totally inconsequential for the vast majority of human beings. So there are known epidemics of mold toxicity when people get into a batch of moldy peanuts or a silo filled with moldy grain, and numbers of people in the community will get it. So yeah, if it's excessive, it's possible. But for the vast majority of us, although the government doesn't do a great job on this, it does monitor the amount of mold in foods, and it is truly minuscule. So it is moldy buildings that is the primary issue for most folks.
And what about electromagnetic sensitivity? Are you seeing a rise in that?
Absolutely, huge rise. Well, first of all, we're seeing a huge rise in all of this. When I've been practicing medicine for over 50 years. In the early days, maybe I didn't know what I was looking for, which is also true. But I don't think I saw much mold toxicity or Lyme disease. And the same thing is true of EMF, electromagnetic fields. What I think has happened is the toxicity of the world that we live in has grown astronomically. I don't think people are aware that there are over 300,000 new chemicals in our environment that didn't exist 50 years ago. And we are testing very, very, very few of them. And so chemical comes out, it is added to food, it's in plastics, you wear it, you use it as makeup, you put it on your body. And has it been tested? No. And then you go, really? Nobody is out there monitoring this? And the answer is pretty much not. Of those chemicals, maybe 1,000, 1,500 have been tested for safety. So the vast amount of things that we're being exposed to aren't being looked at. I look at it, for example, in a when I went to school, maybe one person in my class had asthma. And then my kids, when they went to school, 20% of the kids in their class had asthma. They all had inhalers. It was common. So keep in mind that the products being used to clean the buildings and to keep the astronomical increases. And I'm concerned because I don't think anyone's looking at this. It's like, oh yeah, we have more asthma. Autism went from almost a rarity to one in 50 kids now has autism. And we're going, what? And we're going, well, that's okay. That means that 49 out of 50 don't have it. And I'm going, wait a minute, we have an epidemic going on here. Don't we want to be looking at that and where that's coming from? And the answer is no, not really. I think we've been putting our heads in the sand for a long time. So we're all, and I mean all of us, more predisposed to these illnesses than ever before in human existence. And the burden on our liver to process all of these chemicals is huge, gets overwhelmed, can't deal with it. And so our immune systems take a hit. We get infections that we never saw before. We get these symptoms. And these symptoms aren't trying to make us miserable. They're trying to get our attention and going, hey, hello, you're not well. You've got to figure out why and get it fixed. But some people just go, well, I don't know. They tell me I'm okay, my lab tests are fine, and they're not looking at the right lab tests.
So with electromagnetic sensitivity, is that a reaction to technology, or is that I'm reactive because I'm toxic, or both?
Both and more. So EMF sensitivity has skyrocketed, like the other things we're talking about. Many people think that the change from 4G to 5G is simply, oh, it's one more G, but it's actually a thousandfold increased exposure to EMFs from 5G. And with those increases in our fabulous speeds that apparently we need, it has to be instantaneous. And this is a wonderful world that we're creating. There are more and more and more folks getting EMF sensitive, where they spend time around the computer on a cell phone, and after a few minutes, they go brain foggy. They can't think straight. They get headaches. They get super fatigued. And for some people, that's really profound. It's a real illness. It's not in people's heads. We've worked out the biochemistry of EMF sensitivity. It's a very real thing. And again, my message to this community is it's treatable. We can block the effects if you're aware of what you're getting, and we can help heal the body. The piece that I think is huge is that our limbic systems and our vagal nerve systems have been profoundly affected by the world we live in. COVID did a number on the entire globe. It scared us. And thank you, media, for doing an exceptionally good job of scaring us particularly. It scared us out of proportion to what we were actually experiencing throughout and continues to do so. So, I mean, we still have people who are afraid of going out in public, afraid of connecting with human beings, isolating themselves because their fear is profound. Now, that fear is on top of all the other fears that we all have in our lives, fears of being injured and our health, and you name it. And with each experience that we have in which we feel like we're not living in a safe environment, and this is all about safety, our limbic system and vagal nerve system, which are parts of our brain, get revved up to protect us by scrutinizing the stimuli that we're being exposed to and going, oh, I'm not sure that's safe for you. So I'm shutting you down and I'm not going to let you do that. And it shuts us down by giving us symptoms. So forgive me, but the entire planet has become limbically and vagally impaired so that we're all way more vulnerable to all of this stuff than maybe ever before in human history. And unfortunately, although we now know it, that information is not really getting out there to folks to realize that I need to do something about that. You can reboot the limbic and vagal systems, but not if you just go, well, I'm really worried and I'm scared about this and I'm scared about that. But that's normal, right? Everybody is. Actually, that's true. Everybody is, but it's not healthy and it's not necessary. You don't have to go through life scared.
So we have a toxic and a dangerous world. This is where we are. Do you have any suggestions on what people can do just, day to day to be safer, to be cleaner?
Absolutely. In every area, you want to look at the food that you eat and the water that you drink and the air that you breathe. So, although it's expensive, it really makes a difference to eat organic. You're getting exposed to much less toxins in the food when you do that. You want to measure the EMFs you're exposed to so that you know where you are with that. So I think we should all have in our home an EMF meter, sometimes called a smog meter, which measures it. So I know that sitting here in front of my computer, I know what I'm getting exposed to. Because if I am getting exposed to too much EMF, not good for my health. So I should do something about it. My router should be on the other side of the room. It shouldn't be under my feet. I should be monitoring what my cell phone is putting out, what my laptop is giving me, what my Kindle that sits on my belly and I read at night is doing. I should know that so that I can shield those devices and not get that same amount. And, and listen to your body about all of it. I honestly think that in the school curricula, everyone should be taught how to meditate, how to deal with stress, unwind and take it seriously, get more exercise to kind of blow off some of the effects of stress that we have. And these are very simple, basic things. But I know that most people don't do it, and they go, I'm okay. And my comment would be, you are until you're not. So the vast majority of people that I treat are professional people who have been very successful in their life. They've accomplished a great deal. They're creative. And all of a sudden, they're not. And they're absolutely baffled by it. It's like, what's going on? I had a mind like a steel trap, and now I can't think my way out of a paper bag. I'm anxious all the time. I never used to be anxious all the time. I'm fatigued. I'm so tired. This is not normal. And sometimes people in their 30s say, well, it's normal to be tired like this. And I'm going, no, it's not. So it's really being honest with yourself and going, am I really okay? Am I living in a safe way? And unfortunately, maybe because of the way we've polluted our world, maybe we do have to work harder than ever before to be safer and to be healthier.
Yeah, I agree. This is where we live. Got to do something. So you have tons of books and you have a new one coming out. Can you tell me about your new book?
I can. So for those listeners who want, I do have a book. It's been out for a while. It's actually a bestseller. It's called Toxic:
Yeah.
Heal Your Body from Mold Toxicity, Lyme Disease, Multiple Chemical Sensitivity, and Other Environmental Chronic Conditions. That's a good place to start to get an overview. My new book is about a subpopulation of the folks that I've been treating who have become unusually sensitive over the years, that because of having these conditions which have not been diagnosed, their nervous systems and other systems in the body have kind of taken a hit. And so now they become sensitive. So they've become sensitive to light, sound, EMF, food, chemicals, some of these, all of these. And again, this is also epidemic. It was rare in the past. A study in England recently showed that 30% of the population has some degree of this hypersensitivity going. Again, people blow it off, but it's not to be blown off. So my new book is about that. It's about what we know is the cause of that type of sensitivity and then how to treat it. And it's called very simply, The Sensitive Patient's Healing Guide. And I have,
Awesome. I definitely have those clients, and I would think it sounds pretty crazy when you say I can't go outside for more than 5 minutes because the light is killing me. It doesn't sound like that could be a real thing, but they have all kinds of crazy things going on. It's very debilitating. Yeah. And I'm glad that we're talking about this because I think these people feel so alone. So I'm so glad that you have that book coming out.
for many people, and believe it or not, we're not talking a handful of unfortunate folks. We're talking millions of Americans have some degree of sensitivity, which is going to get worse if they don't figure out what's causing it and do something about it. To the
Yeah.
point, like your patient, they get truly debilitated. So people with EMF sensitivity often have to live in a rural environment where they're not near other houses because the other people's houses will truly set them off. And this is not psychological. This is a very real event. People with food sensitivities are sometimes stuck to eating three, four, five foods. That's all they can eat. They can't do any more than that. And people with the light sensitivity, sound sensitivity, literally get isolated. They have to be separate because they literally can't handle it. Their nervous system, it just shuts down in response to it. So this is an important field, and I'm just thrilled with this book because I got 20 of my colleagues to contribute chapters to it, and they are the cutting edge of people who know the most about this and how to deal with it. So I hope this will be a game changer because most people with this sensitivity have been told, this is in your head. Nobody could react to that.
Absolutely.
I've had patients say, I can't handle even the tiniest bit of this substance, or I can't even take a homeopathic substance. And if you don't know that, they've been told by physicians, That's impossible. This has got to be psychological. And the answer is, it's very, very real, and it's not in your head. You know how you feel, and please honor that perception. Know that it is true, and then go find someone who understands it.
So tell us where to find you, because I know people are going to be, looking for you now.
Okay. So I have a website which has a lot of information on it, including where to find physicians who can help you treat this and figure it out. My website's simple. It's neilnathanmd.com. So not hard. And I list on the website my various books. If you are a medical practitioner and you want to join my mentorship group and learn more about this in more detail, I welcome people to do that. And I do consultations for patients so that if you think you have a problem, I will do consultations with you. Although I do insist that you have a physician who knows what they're doing, who can work with you more closely than I can. I'm currently helping literally hundreds of people as a consultant, but I can't take care of you like I could when I was in medical practice and I could take your every call and your email and deal with it. So, but I am very happy to help you personally if I can do that.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. This has been so incredibly useful. I appreciate everything that you do, and thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me. I hope this information is helpful to the folks that are listening.
Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed this episode and you'd like to help the podcast thrive, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. To catch all the latest from Laura Giles, you can follow her on all her socials at Laura Giles 804. See you next time.